I don't know where Brother Parker got that 2-hour stuff. I've never preached 2 hours yet. I'm not going to preach very long. I'm not going to say much, but I want to say a few things because some of the things that's gone on before, I believe, would tie in. I know it will with what Brother Zach's already said. And I want to say a little bit about Christ being made a curse for us. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, it verily says that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. But I'm not going to say much about that, but I do want to say a few things about the curse of the law. I'm glad we have the backdrop of what Brother Zach has already preached with regard to what we're going to look at. Paul wrote the book of Galatians in order to strengthen the saints against those that would pervert the gospel of Christ. Many maintain that it's not important whether you know or understand the gospel or not. But it is important. It's extremely important. It's very important that you know what the gospel is all about. I'm not going to get into that. There's much that I could do. You know, someone asked a preacher one time, said, if you had to preach for an hour, how much time would you need to prepare? He said, only about 5 minutes. I said, well, what if it's going to be 30 minutes? He said, well, I'd need about an hour. He said, what if it's 15? He said, I need 8 hours. So I ask you, give me wisdom on knowing what to leave out. But I do want to talk a little bit about the curse of the law. To be under the curse of the law is to be under the curse of God. To be under the curse of the law is to be under the curse of God. We need to realize that. It is not an arbitrary curse to be under the curse of the law. Now, very few people that I have ever come in contact with understands what it is to be under the curse of the law. But those that have understood that, in whom God has regenerated, it is a great blessing to know that they are not under the curse of the law anymore. Brother Zach spoke about the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not to be minimized. But the physical sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ were very minimal compared to Him bearing our sins. There have been a lot of people that have been physically tortured more than Christ was physically tortured on the cross. Just study a little martyrology of church history. I'm not minimizing His eternal sufferings. It would be a light thing to be tortured most severely than it would be to receive the curse of God. The curse of God. The curse of God is described in the Bible as a lake of fire. A lake of fire. A lake of fire. The horrors of a sea of fire. Like the gaping of a wild animal with its mouth open, waiting to engulf someone. Think of that. I believe hell is real. I've had old Baptist people to tell me sometimes, well, you know, I just don't believe that's really literal fire. And then they tried to explain the way. Said, I think it's just worse than fire. I said, well, it may be. I don't know that, but I believe the Bible. The Bible says it's fire, and I believe it's fire. The Bible is described as somebody being taken by the Lord Jesus Christ and cast into the lake of fire. We're talking about the curse of God. We're talking about being under the curse of the law. I won't have time to finish the second part of that today, tonight. Lord willing, if we will, we'll get to that the second part tomorrow, being delivered from the curse of the law. But I want you to have somewhat of a picture of the curse of the law. The curse of God. God is a God of wrath. God is a God of wrath. And I am amazed at the stupidity of individuals. For example, when this hurricane, these hurricanes have been coming ashore, some people say, well, we're going to board it up and we're going to drink it out and we're going to have a party, a hurricane party. Beloved, can you imagine anybody having a party over the wrath of God? That's how blind and how stupid some individuals are, that they're going to laugh about the judgment of God. I remember, as a unregenerate, laughing about going to hell. And joking with some of my friends that I'll get there before you will. That is how blind. That is how hardened. That is how stupid. That is how ignorant. And I'm telling you, using stupid by individuals having a stupefied spirit. That's how bad people are. And unaware of the judgment of God and the wrath of God. God is a God of wrath. Some people say, well, God's not angry with the sinner. God's angry with the sin. That's a lie. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 7. Psalm chapter 7. I've been reading I started reading. I've just about finished. I'd had another 15 minutes of lunch last week. I would have finished volume 1 of Shedd's Dogmatic Theology. But even that sovereign grace believer even indicated that God was not angry with the sinner, but He's angry with the sin. I don't know how anybody can be a Bible believer and take that stand, because in Psalm chapter 7 and verse 11, God judges the righteous and God is angry with the wicked every day. If He turn not, He will whet His sword. He hath bent His bow and made it ready. God's anger is like a hunter that has a bow drawn and he's ready to let it go to every sinner that is unrepentant. Every individual that is unrepentant sinner, God is like he's got his bow and he's ready to let the arrow fly. God is angry. God is angry with the wicked. God is angry with this nation. We have justified the slaughter of the unborn. We have justified sodomy. We have justified every iniquity known to man. There's only one that they haven't legalized yet, and it's coming on, and I'm not going to name it now. It's too vile. But you rest my word, if there be a day, if God allows this nation to stand, that they will legalize things worse than sodomy. Every nation has. Every nation has that God has let stand long enough. It's already in the makings. I have many other passages here. I'm not going to bring those out. But you just remember what God did to Judah. But let's go back even further than that. Can you imagine a sticker slapped on the back of the ark saying, God loves you? the flood. I don't know how many people were on the earth at that time. There's evidence of human beings being in the United States during the time of the flood. But God was so angry and so angry with the human race, He put four people by grace on that ark. And He had destroyed man, woman, and child, old folks, young folks, every form. He destroyed every individual with water except eight people. Under the curse of God. Under the curse of God. In Sodom and Gomorrah, He rained fire down out of heaven and destroyed every individual in there. And how many righteous people were in Sodom? The most that you could say is four. Lot, his wife, maybe. And his two daughters. And it could have been only just Lot. I don't know. But God said that He would not destroy the righteous with the wicked. He told Abraham that. And He didn't. He delivered the righteous out of Sodom and then destroyed it. That hasn't always been the case. That hasn't always been the case. I want to read something to you. Charles Spurgeon made a statement that was far better than what I can say concerning Galatians 3:16. He said, or either that or he was talking about the wrath of God, I don't remember which, I got it from him, I'd have to go back and look it up. There is a place of woe and horror, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is darkness. There those miserable spirits who have refused repentance and have hardened themselves against the Most High are forever banished from their God and from all hope of peace or restoration. If your ear could be applied to the gratings of their cells, if you could walk the gloomy corridors wherein damned spirits are confined, you would then, with chilled blood and hair erect, learn what the curse of the law must be. That dread malediction which comes on the disobedient from the hand of the just and righteous God. The curse of God is to lose God's favor. You see, David said, if I make my bed in hell, God is there. The wicked are not going to escape God's presence. The worst thing that I could ever remember at home is when I was in trouble, is being under the eye of my father. The wicked will be in hell under the eye of God. They cannot escape His presence. Revelation talks about some that are in the flames. And what do? They curse God. They blaspheme God. Being in hell, knowing that they are getting their just deserts, and still they blaspheme God. Mr. Spurgeon went on to say, repeating part of the sentence, the curse of God is to lose God's favor. Consequently, to lose the blessing which come upon that favor. To lose peace of mind. To lose hope. Ultimately, to lose life itself. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that loss of life, being cast into eternal death, is the most terrible of all, consisting as it does in everlasting separation from God and everything that makes existence truly life, a destruction lasting on forever, according to the scriptural description of it, is the fruit of the curse of the law. That's not a pretty picture. And you know what? It doesn't describe the reality of hell. It's worse than that. Have you been redeemed from that? I tell you what, to have the peace of God that you're redeemed from the curse of the law, if we can get a hold of that, we will be blessing God. I want to read one other passage before I close in Deuteronomy 28. To give a little bit about the curse of God. Deuteronomy 28. Now this is talking about Israel. And it's a type of the real thing. But it's quite descriptive. Deuteronomy 28:15, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all His commandments and His statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field." Doesn't matter whether you live in the city or the country. "Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that thou settest thy hand unto, for to do, until thou be destroyed, until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me." I'm going to stop there. All you have to do is study Israel, and you'll see that they're cursed. You say, well, they're a nation today. No, that's Zionism. That's Zionism. You say, what's Zionism? That's some political muckety-muck that politicians have put together. Now, I could say a lot more about that. You say, well, that's just because you don't believe in a premillennial coming of Christ. I'm a premillennialist. Some of these brethren are all millennialists. I love them. It'd be a terrible thing for us to argue about that because all of us are probably wrong. Christ is coming back. Christ is coming back. But I'm not a dispensationalist. That stuff over there, that's just not. God destroyed Israel. And all you have to do is just read the Old Testament and see God's judgment, His wrath on a group of individuals. On a nation of people, because they did not, and they were not, regenerated. Some were. Many were not. Not all Israel that were of Israel. Romans 9 tells us. That's only a picture of how much God hates sin. That's only a picture of how much God hates sin. Now, the Lord willing, tomorrow we're going to look at the fact that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. I'm glad that you have the backdrop of what Brother Zach's already preached tonight. Showing the victory beforehand. Showing the victory beforehand. But, beloved, sometimes we lose sight of the fact of just what we have been redeemed from. We haven't been just redeemed from getting drunk or having lustful thoughts or lying. We have. We have been redeemed from that. I'm not minimizing that. But, beloved, we've been redeemed of something far worse That is the wrath of God. The curse of the law. Christ was made a curse for us. Christ was made a curse for us. Think on these things.